You're listening to Let's Get Metaphysical. This podcast explores the spiritual and metaphysical world through the experiences and opinions of the host and those interviewed. It should not necessarily be seen as direct endorsement or personal advice to our listeners. We encourage you to use your own discernment, judgment, and intuition regarding anything you learn of through this show.
Let's get mental.
Welcome to the Let's Get Metaphysical podcast. I'm your host, Renata Maniacci, here to remind you that you are a divine spiritual light being who is currently having a human experience in a physical body. Don't you forget it. In today's episode, we will be talking about star children and extreme abilities with guest Leila Briggs. But before that, as this is the last episode of 2019, I just wanted to take a moment to thank our active patrons of the podcast. So to all our patrons, or as I call them, my 3D, 4D, 5D, and transcendent metaphysicians, I thank you from the soul of this planet to the outer reaches of the multiverse. This year, you have enabled us to complete 22 amazing episodes, 34 altogether, and to purchase much-needed upgrades in mics and other recording equipment. And of course, you've enabled us to continue our mission of sharing, validating, and normalizing spiritual and metaphysical experiences, resulting in an untold number of subsequent inspirations, validations, and awakenings for our listeners around the world. So again, I wish to personally thank Abby, Aries, Ashley, Becky, Bill, Cindy, Colby, Crystal, Debbie, Liz, Ellen, Emily, Hannah, Holly, Josephine, Julia, Kelly, Lindsay, Lynn, Megan, Rachel, Stephanie, Steve, and Zebulon. You all keep this podcast going. For anyone interested in becoming a patron of this podcast, please visit patreon.com/letsgetmeta. Today's show is sponsored by moldavitejewelry.com, the number one source for genuine moldavite, meteorite, and rare crystal jewelry. Moldavitejewelry.com offers the largest selection of artisan-made moldavite pendants, necklaces, earrings, and high-vibe energy jewelry on planet Earth. Spiritual seekers will find many unique pieces, moldavite tektites, and moldavite oil to aid on your path. Is the stone of transformation calling to you? As a special thank you, listeners of the podcast can use discount code LETSGETMETA25 at checkout and save 25% off your entire order at moldavitejewelry.com. Our guest today is Leila Briggs. Leila is the co-owner and creator of Trelia, a business dedicated to providing intuitive individuals with the tools they need to heal and succeed. She passionately dedicates her time to ensuring intuitively gifted children, adults, and their families have the support and knowledge required to move forward in a healthy and successful life. From a very young age, Leila was able to recall and perceive past and future incarnations, timelines, and dimensions. She could easily access the Akashic records. By age 10, she was very adept at spirit communication and seeing the energetic ripples of life choices through time. In her mid-20s, she began formal training in self-healing and energy healing. This included studies in the healing touch practice, Usui Reiki, Peruvian shamanism, and aromatherapy. Leila is a certified healing touch practitioner. She also has had the opportunity to consult for Light Seekers Paranormal Resolutions and the Pennsylvania Paranormal Association. She has been featured on Paranormal Science Radio and Psychic Access Radio. Much of her spare time is enthusiastically spent traveling to sacred sites throughout the world. I personally met Leila when we were doing a healing touch together, and she is one of the most incredible souls I've ever met. Let's jump right into the interview. Are you ready? Let's get meta.
Greetings, metaphysicians. Leila, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I usually ask my guests if they would please share a metaphysical or spiritual experience with us. I'm going to ask you the same thing. I know that your whole life is metaphysical and spiritual experiences, so I'm excited to hear what you decide to share with us today.
So I think that the best way to start is just, you know, with my childhood, because my whole life is truly metaphysical and spiritual. When I was younger, I kind of just came out of the womb spiritual, I guess, and connected. Mm-hmm. My first metaphysical experience that I can recall was when I was 3 years old. And it just kind of never stopped after that moment. When I was born in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and we were kind of out in the middle of nowhere. So it was kind of farmland. There wasn't a lot of people around us. So at the time, I could really be spiritual and metaphysical. And I didn't have a lot of comparisons as to what was normal and proper.
Right.
So we had a lot of spirituality, my sister and I, in our everyday lives, and never really second-guessed it until we got older. One of the things that we would do frequently, and like I said, you're dealing with a childhood version of me, so I never even like doubted this or questioned it, but we had a game that we would play with a neighbor boy. And we'd go out into we had like woods and fields around us. We were out on farmland, and we'd go out into the woods, and we had specific locations that we would have to go to with certain movements or prayers we would have to do. And once we went through this series of prayers and movements, we would end up at this huge pine tree. I have no idea if this pine tree is real or not. It was real to us. And the neighbor boy would stay on the outside of the pine tree, and me and my sister would climb underneath, and we would sit underneath this pine tree. There were logs to sit, and the neighbor boy one by one would let people in to talk to us. And as a child, I never thought, hey, this is weird that someone's coming to talk to, you know, two little girls. But this is what we did. And we would be out there for like an hour and a half, and he would let different people, beings or whatever, in, and they would sit down and they would talk with us. Sometimes they would give us advice. Sometimes they just wanted to vent. Sometimes they would bring little gifts. And it was very, very real. Like, to me, it wasn't, I never put together in the beginning that this was something unusual. I never put together that these people weren't really there.
In the physical,
yeah. To me, it was like there were genuinely people out in these fields,
right,
who wanted to come and talk to me and my sister. And we wouldn't do this every day. This was like, we kind of like did it when it felt right. We kind of went through this process when it felt right. So I would say like we did it maybe like once every 3 weeks or once a month. And then when I was about 8 years old, and we did it for years, and when I was about 8 years old, I remember like vividly sitting underneath the tree, and my grandfather came in, and it was like all of the sudden my conscious physical brain started working. It activated. My grandfather, as far as I knew at the time, was alive, and he lived very, very far away. So all of a sudden I started putting together, there's no way he would be here. Like, there's no way he would be here without us knowing. My mom would have prepped us. We would have had to clean the house. We would have had to do, you know, it would have been a very big deal for him to come and visit us. And he would have come to the house first. And all of a sudden, it's like my conscious brain started working. And I started realizing in that moment, in a couple split seconds, that what we were doing was not normal. What we were doing was societally wrong, I guess. I don't know that I called it wrong in the moment, but I definitely had fear and panic overtake me, and I totally had my perception completely change. And I went from just going with it to now all of a sudden doubting this experience. And then my sister felt my fear, and she started to panic, and it was literally like the whole thing started to disassemble in front of us. when we got back to the house, which we ran away in fear, when we got back to the house, my mom had just found out her father had passed, which was my grandfather.
Wow.
And again, that sent home what we were doing was not normal. And it was like, it was such an experience for me and my sister, but we were to the point, like, we didn't even question it. So we were at the point, like, we didn't even at that point, at that time, tell my parents what we were doing.
I was going to ask if they knew what you were doing.
Yeah, we just were out doing this. Like, we just thought this was normal. So it really dramatically changed me and my sister's lives, because up until that point, we just thought this is what it was. It was normal. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't normal. And then the fact that he died, my brain had a really hard time comprehending then what we had been experiencing and what we were doing. I also was very religious. I went to a Catholic school. So I also had some religious teachings in there. So my brain went very dark very quickly. Like, what we were doing was very wrong. And that was something then that I had to face over and over again. And even though it was very scary, the metaphysical and the spiritual abilities, I was never able to turn them off. They never stopped. But that moment is kind of like, almost in a way, my physical awakening.
Right. Because you were kind of a spiritual
being.
Yeah,
definitely.
And then I realized that you were in the physical.
Yep, absolutely. I would say that I was definitely more in the spiritual until that moment. And then all of a sudden it was like, and I can remember it, it's like my brain activated and I became more physical in that moment.
So I wanted to ask you about titles for these kinds of children. We've grown up and we've heard so many different things. There's been books written about indigo children and rainbow children. And I wanted to, as somebody who might potentially have been called one of these children, how do you feel about titles and things like that with people with abilities?
So in literature and in our community, we have, you know, indigo scouts, rainbow crystal scouts, star children, and we have all these different titles. Some of those people have, some of those authors and people who work in this field have bracketed based on the year they were born. But then there's a whole nother system of bracketing that has to do with their abilities. And that totally drives me up the wall. And I'm just being honest. Because when you have a child that comes in with abilities like this, if they are learning how to cope in the physical and they're learning how to cope with their abilities, they're all going to evolve to the level of what is considered a star child. They're going to open up or have already opened up, just haven't figured it out, all of those extreme abilities. I don't mind titles being there for a system of learning. I don't mind the titles being there for birthdays, like understanding, okay, the children that came in from 1982 to 1993 are all indigos. I don't mind that. But bracketing them based on their abilities is total nonsense, because if you're evolving, and you know that even going the other way, if you're evolving, all those abilities start to naturally open up. It may not be the way that you want them to open up, but everything should have an evolution to it. So every child eventually gets to the point of the star, or already is and just hasn't uncovered it yet, which is the reality of it. They don't know how to cope with it. They haven't had ways to title it, but all these children, they already have all those abilities there. They just aren't aware or know what to do with it.
That's an awesome explanation. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of young kids are in the spiritual a lot of the time, and we maybe as adults don't recognize that that is where they are a lot. I just remember even like a few months ago, my mom like sent me picture texts of some like stories that I wrote when I was like 6 and 7 and 8, and they were all about like crystal caves and like sane like meditations about, you know, like, you know, I just, things that I would think now and think that I would write about and have, and like maybe to do like a crystal cave meditation or something like that, but like that was already like coming in at that time, and I completely forgot about it. I had no idea that that was something that I had written, and when I read it, I was like, oh my gosh, I remember this.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And so the bulk of, as an adult now, dealing with abilities and having years and years of trying to cope with this and understand it, And it's, for me, the abilities are not minor. I can't turn them on or off. They're constant. I work with children that have extreme abilities. I do work with some adults, but primarily children and young adults that have extreme abilities. And what I've learned through this whole journey is that the reality is you already know everything. It's just your physical brain that's becoming aware.
Right.
Everything's already there. And once you realize that, you can go back in your childhood and realize you were already on track. You already knew all this stuff about yourself. You already had these neat little details, whether it was through make-believe games or dreaming or, you know, experiences with playing dolls. You already had all these details of who you are, what you are. It's really just your brain, your physical brain, that's playing catch up. All of that is already here in the now. And then the next step after that is trying to find balance between the physical and spiritual.
There's so many ways I want to go with this conversation that I'm trying to decide which question to ask first. Mm-hmm. How was it growing up in your family with you and your sister having these abilities? It sounds, from what I know about you, that maybe your parents were also spiritual?
So on both sides of my family, they both have had spiritual experiences. My mom's side is much more prevalent than my father's side. On my mom's side, they talked about it in the house, but never talked about it outside the house. On my dad's side, they just didn't talk about it, period. Both of them have a baseline of abilities and intuition. However, when I was born, both my parents had decided, they were bound and determined, that me and my sister were going to have normal lives. And they packed up all their books and they really did their best to not encourage any of it. And that was because they had their own traumatic experiences.
Okay.
However, I had other plans.
Right.
Right. So I just never shut up about it. Mm-hmm. Like, once I realized that there was something going on that wasn't normal, after that point, even though it was hard for me, I had to deal with anxiety, OCD. I was diagnosed with OCD tendencies and depression because I couldn't comprehend or understand what was happening around me. Even though I was dealing with that, I never shut up about it.
To your family or to my family. Other people?
No, to my family. Sometimes I would talk about it with other people and it would get me in trouble. Like, I definitely had a few moments where I talked to a couple girls from the Catholic school and that it didn't go over well.
Did you ever meet anybody growing up that was like you and that had abilities that maybe were similar or maybe were different, but they were still, you know, they were still outside what we would consider normal?
I didn't meet anyone on the same level until I was in college. And they were going through the same thing, extreme depression, anxiety. I didn't meet anyone who was fighting as badly as I was to just be in the physical, to just live, until I was in college. I met people that would like I definitely had kids that would share dreams here or there, but it wasn't like it was ruling their life. For me, it was ruling me in every way. I couldn't walk out the door without being inundated with emotions from other people, experiences. And I mean, I'm talking like poltergeist activity. I'm talking about, you know, random people coming up and having conversations with me because things are coming through them. It was just never ending. And it's just one bizarre moment after another after another. And as you know, Ren, you spend a day with me, it's a little bit of an adventure. It just never stops. It never stops. So imagine a week, a month, a year of that just continually happening. I never met someone where they were just challenging, I guess, the physical and spiritual paradigm to such a degree until I reached college. And that was really eye-opening for me. Meeting someone who had to fight just to live because they were so inundated with all this spiritual information, it's the first time that I like really realized I'm not alone.
What do you mean by fight to live? Like,
so like for me, it feels like I have to like the children that I deal with, we're not talking about children that maybe just see a spirit in the corner of the house. I definitely have children like that. We're talking about children that they're so inundated. Like I would say like 90% of them is functioning in the spiritual. Their body is fighting just to live on a basic level.
Like live in the physical, yes, on a basic level.
So like usually they're suffering from chronic pain. They're suffering from mental disabilities because, you know, their brain is relaying something's very wrong and they look out on the outside world that can't figure out why they're wrong, so it must be their fault. So we're talking about people that are so inundated with their psychic and intuitive abilities.
So the hidden world, right, in other senses.
Right,
so
like that veil truly is gone.
It's gone.
Right.
There's no difference. You can, it's, I'm just trying to paint a picture for the listeners,
right,
because I know a lot of people that are listening to this maybe have abilities like that, but a lot of people don't, and they don't see the hidden world,
right,
as tangibly as you and other people do.
Right. So like for us, for those that are fighting to live, it is very real. Like other people can turn it off, right? So you go to bed and, you know, you say your prayers, you say your protection, and you can just kind of tune it out and turn it off. That's not the case for me and some of these other kids. It's happening all the time. And we're not fighting to be spiritual, right? Most people are working their tushies off to get their psychic and intuitive ability. We're fighting to be able to live.
In the 3D.
Yes.
And
to
in
just
like
go
the
out,
quote unquote normal,
right,
3D earth experience.
Absolutely.
And not in a spiritual,
yep,
all time metaphysical experience.
Right. To just go out and have a drink with friends, to just go to a homecoming dance. We're fighting to just experience that as a physical human being because truly what's going on to us or how we're viewing it is we're in the spiritual all the time. You know, we can't just sit in and do an interview, right? In the interview, there's 2,000 beings that are checking in right now, trying to get my attention and talking. So it takes a certain level of skill and coping mechanisms to be able to just live. And that doesn't mean that those that are fighting to be spiritual are wrong in any way or lesser. It's just a different approach. And I think that this is going to become more and more common. I think that where we're going as we're evolving as a whole humanity is that we're going to have more and more people that are fighting to live. They're not fighting to be spiritual. I think we're going to have more and more children that are popping out with extreme abilities.
We're already seeing that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And they're going to be fighting to function in this world. And it isn't because it's dense. It's because there's so much in the spiritual. They can't get fully in their body and their body is suffering. Their relationships are suffering. Their life is suffering.
On that, I wanted to, you know, we were talking a little bit before this interview about coping mechanisms. And you mentioned, you know, you got diagnosed with anxiety and OCD and depression. And I think that I've heard that before. There've been other people, certainly on this podcast, but also certainly in my life, who have had similar experiences as kids and were either, you know, turn to drinking or turn to drugs to kind of try to turn that piece off. A lot of these kids I hear get diagnosed with things like ADD and get put on medication, and that kind of dulls them. And I wonder what you feel about that. And hearing you talk, it's you keep using the word fight. And for me, it's kind of devastating because you don't want any being or any soul to come into the human body and have to fight their whole time. And so, yeah, it's this world, this hidden world that we talk about on this show every single episode. That's what it's all about, is the hidden world that most people who are fully in their bodies in this incarnation can't see and can't experience, and maybe can a little bit, but not to the extent that you and other people can. And like, how do we make it? I mean, there's not even education for people who come in like you about, okay, this is what's happening right now. You have these things that other people in your sphere and in your school and in your world can't see and do. It's almost like, I don't know, it almost feels like there needs to be a special school. Is that what Hogwarts is?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, I definitely would be the one to be at the forefront of that. I would totally support that. And like I said, I think it's becoming more common. And those of us that do come in like that, if we could get ourselves together, right? And get in a place where we can function. We could definitely help those that don't have the extreme abilities, right? Because no one knows better how to navigate that world than the ones that are naturally exposed to such a high level. But it is difficult. I do have a lot of children, a lot of young adults, a lot of adults even, that have been diagnosed with depression, ADD, ADHD. Some of them have been put on the spectrum for autism. And that's not including physical ailments because the body's fighting to survive and fighting all this energy that's constantly overwhelming the system.
Can you go into that a little bit more just for listeners, like fighting to survive, but like the physical body? So I think there's people who are listening might be like, what do you mean by the physical body having to fight to survive? So, what does that look like for somebody like you or somebody like the kids you work with?
So most people have like a natural filter. So like when we talk about like being able to turn it on and off, you have a natural filter. When you're able to do that, when you're able to just say a protection and they listen immediately and everything steps back, everything kind of slows down or stops, you have a filter in place. You're not actually stopping that world.
Right.
Right. You're creating a filter for your conscious brain so that can't inundate your system anymore. When we're talking about children with extreme abilities or like myself, that filter doesn't exist. So that energy from the spiritual world, from every being, is constantly inundating your body and your system. So if there's any listeners that have empath abilities and you suck up other people's emotions, you walk into a room of 2,000 people, you know what that feels like, right? Well, imagine living that 24/7 and there's no way to turn it off. Eventually your body gets exhausted, it gets tired. It develops ailments in response. Your joints start to hurt, your muscles start to hurt, you start thinking slower. Even just, you know, if you panic, like some of the children, myself included, when you're younger, you don't know what to make of it. You know it's wrong. You know it's different. So your body naturally tenses. Well, if your body's tensed and your breath is shallow all the time, eventually that's going to be pretty detrimental to your system. So what it is that filter isn't there. And the coping mechanisms that I've developed and children have developed and worked with them to develop is all about adjusting to that filter not being there, learning how to work with that and function every day, letting that energy flow. And then as you get stronger, picking and choosing how you're going to deal with it and what you're going to do with it. But it's very intricate and complicated work because, like I said, it doesn't stop. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean that world stops. Just because you can tune it out for a little bit doesn't mean it stops. When you put protection up, nothing's actually leaving your space. You've actually just created a filter so your body's not inundated with that information, but it doesn't actually go away.
That was a really good explanation of that. I think that's going to help a lot of people to understand what that's like. And I know that, you know, to some extent, to maybe some small extent, many people on this planet are empathic. And I think that people can learn to become more empathic. And you bring up an interesting thing that I'm not sure we've ever talked about on the podcast before, but which is so many people, myself included, have, you know, worked to become, open up their spiritual abilities more and more. And you're presenting such an like real and interesting juxtaposition to that with somebody who can't fully turn it off if they want to, the hidden world. And I know that like even 5 years ago, I remember asking my guides naively to see, right? And like, how devastating might that be to somebody to actually see everything in the hidden world all at once? That's because I have never had that veil completely drop with all, you know, with no holds barred. That might be that would probably be a tremendously difficult thing to take in. And you know, with my abilities, I can kind of turn them off and on. And now I'm seeing that with a different kind of respect talking to you and listening to your story, because I think a lot of people are like, why can't I see? Why can't I hear? Why can't I just call on this, you know, being and see them just as I see you in front of me? And that's even, I'm even talking and I'm hearing that my language is even limited to even describe what I know that you experience. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just talking about seeing, and you, for you, it's a full, full throttle experience on all levels. Like, and I don't have the language to describe that.
Something that we forget about is every energy makes sound. Mm. So I have a couple children where sound is just, you know, unbearable. And that I was also the same way when I was a child. The sound, every energy has a vibration and a sound to it. And then when you add man-made sounds to it, it's literally painful for the body. And it causes a lot of migraines and all kinds of stuff to your system. But even off radio or off podcast, you and I had talked about an exercise you were learning where you could spread your awareness to receive other people's perceptions or multiple perceptions.
Mm-hmm. Or actually, like, to expand your own perception too and see things from different angles yourself.
So that happens naturally when you have extreme abilities. Right. And it's very overwhelming. And it's very inundating. You know, you can't, every... Like, what I say to the children and, like, the parents that are struggling to support their children is every thought you have, every word you speak, every action you take, there's an energy to that. And it affects the physical world and it affects the spiritual world. When you have a child with extreme abilities, they're very aware of that, right? So even though you and I are just talking on a podcast right now and it's just me and you physically, our words are affecting thousands and thousands and thousands of energies, and even humans. There are humans in this space around us, houses around us, that are getting affected by our energy and don't realize it. When you know that, when you can feel that, when you have that realization, there's a lot of issues that arise, right? Because then you're suddenly afraid to make a move. Your body's tense all the time. So
it sounds like there's a lot of responsibility that comes out of that as well.
But I also want to say it's not all bad. Like, yes, you're fighting to live. It's not all bad. If you can get it at a level where you can function, there's beautiful and really good things that can come from it. I mean, rather than, you know, just seeing a person for face value, you see them as a whole. You see them in the spiritual and the physical. It definitely has a weight to it. And the goal is to find balance between physical and spiritual. Even if you're going the other way, even if you're fighting to become spiritual, eventually the goal is to find that balance between spiritual and physical. It's not all bad, but it is very intense. And you really do have to really toughen up to be able to have that experience. And I think being able to share that with you is so important because I do know there's other people out there and other parents out there that have children that are on this extreme level that are doing everything from dreaming, feeling, sensing, smelling, seeing, and it just never turns off. And it's a very hard thing to cope with, not only when you're going through it, but also as a family dynamic. It shifts your whole family. Your whole family has to respond. My whole family had to respond to me. And if they didn't, the only other option would be to ostracize me, which I have seen in other families. They don't know what to do with the child, so they kind of cut themselves away from the child when they get older. But at the end of the day, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's exactly what's supposed to be happening for the evolution of humanity. And like I said, even whether these children or young adults follow their pathway to an intuitive or psychic, just their presence and their energy encourages and helps those that are seeking those higher levels. And so it's not all bad, but it is intense.
I just wanted to bring up that I know that you work with children and families mostly, but as new beings, new souls come to Earth every day, there are people like this in every generation. Mm-hmm. And some of them maybe do know how to cope with it. And some people, maybe many people in many generations, the 20-year-olds, the 30-year-olds, the 50-year-olds, everybody, there are people in all over and in every age group that maybe have abilities and have learn to cope with them maybe in a positive way, or maybe learn to cope with them in ways that are more detrimental. And it's interesting now that I'm thinking about it, because I know that you work with children and that makes sense that you would want to try to help people with these abilities cope as young as they can so that they can live out their lives in a productive and positive manner without it affecting them negatively throughout their life. And I'm now thinking of, it's like I can almost feel the weight of all the people who maybe have abilities and never got that help.
Right.
That exist right now everywhere.
Right.
Not just, you know, here and not just in this country, but everywhere in the world.
Right. Absolutely. And I think it's more commonplace now, but unfortunately, I don't think that it's a topic of conversation very much in society. Like, we like to talk, it's becoming more common with ghost shows and stuff like that, but.
And Let's Get Metaphysical podcasts and, you know, stuff like that.
But the actual, like, nitty gritty, like, how do you live with this? You know, even if you're going the other way, okay, you're working and working to see, but then how do you cope with
how
it
do you
if,
cope,
you,
yeah.
if you can truly see every day?
Right.
How do you learn how to function and be able to do that day in and day out and implement it into who you are as a person? And those conversations aren't necessarily happening yet. And you're right. A lot of the knowledge, literature, schooling, coping mechanisms, all of that isn't quite out there yet, but it's happening and it will happen because it's not going to stop. They're coming in.
I think you brought up a really important point talking about balance between the spiritual and the physical. And I, you know, on some level, I think this world, this planet is a planet of duality. And this is what I've heard from teachers and my own experience before, 50-50, right? And learning how to balance in all things is one of our major tasks as beings on this planet, and certainly balance between the spiritual and the physical. I think that most people having a human experience right now would, and listening to this podcast, would understand and feel that it is, there is no balance between the spiritual and the physical, especially, I think on a deep level, people want that and maybe don't even realize it, that that's what they're seeking,
right?
Is to remember the, you know, bigger reasons for why we are on the planet right now. And we're so focused on the material and so focused on the physical, and we forgot about the spiritual, but it's the other side of the coin.
Right. And well, the crazy thing about that is when you're dealing in the spiritual primarily and not the physical, duality doesn't exist.
Hmm.
Those paradigms of good, bad, holy, and evil, when you are truly in the spiritual, it's all energy. It's humans that decide what's good and bad. So it's totally fascinating and jarring to the system to approach it coming from the other direction. And I can see that in humanity, and I'm human too, right? So I have those paradigms and beliefs, but then there's a large part of me that's been functioning in the spiritual, and they're totally clashing because in the spiritual, those paradigms don't exist.
That's actually comforting.
So that just, it doesn't, right?
And I know that on some level too. I mean, I've always had this, you know, I've talked about this before in the podcast, but like, I never understood gender when I came to this planet.
Absolutely.
Like, that's a duality that I just don't understand. Right. And I don't think I've spent much time on this kind of a dualistic planet, but whatever, that's a whole nother their story. But things like that, and from the spiritual, as you said, it is all energy.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it's finding that common ground, because you are still human, and we're living in a society where those dualities are very important, right? Our whole society is based on those dualities. That's how we determine if we're a good person or a bad person and who we want to be. But when you're functioning primarily in the spiritual, none of that exists. You just are. These energies just are. And when you're working towards the spiritual, again, you have a choice. If you don't have that extreme ability, you have a choice. You get to pick and choose which energies you're going to deal with. So if you like certain vibrations and those seem good to you, those are the vibrations you get to deal with. However, when you're, that veil is missing, that's not the case. You don't get to choose until you develop coping mechanisms. You are inundated with all those energies. And sometimes your brain likes those energies and sometimes your brain doesn't. And then your brain starts developing systems of fear and belief systems based on that. And that's the human part of you. But the reality is, in the spiritual, none of that exists. It's all energy and the different vibrations of energy. And it's, I don't know, it's fascinating. It's really, really fascinating. And that's why I'm saying, like, it's important to know that these people are out there, not only so we can help them, but also so they can help you. Like, anyone who is trying to develop their spiritual abilities, these are the people you want to talk to because they know this world better than anything. This isn't a hobby for them. They're living it, and they can approach it from a different angle, a different perception.
I think that's a really great point, and that kind of wraps up our conversation perfectly for this moment. Leila and I are going to continue our conversation a little bit for the bonus content portion of this episode. I really am excited to ask you more about what extreme abilities are and what have you seen in terms of the other people and children that you've worked with. So we're going to have a little conversation about that for the bonus content. If you're interested in listening to that conversation, please check out www.patreon.com/letsgetmeta. Leila, you're one of my dearest friends. I'm so glad to finally have you on this podcast. So thank you so much for sharing your experiences with us today.
Thank you for having me.
A big thank you to Leila for joining me in this conversation and sharing her unique experience and perspective on this topic. If you would like to contact Leila or Trelia LLC for more information, please email her at treliaonline@gmail.com. That's treliaonline@gmail.com. In this podcast, diagnoses such as ADD and ADHD are briefly discussed. Leila would like to clarify that there is no clear evidence that ADD and ADHD or any other diagnoses is directly connected to intuitive abilities. She is simply acknowledging a pattern within many of her patients and clients that may or may not be related. And I also wanted to add that this is one person's experience with extreme abilities, and that everyone's individual experience is unique to that person. Other folks out there with extreme abilities may have had very similar experiences or may have a completely different reality for themselves. I feel that this episode provides an extremely important perspective that isn't heard as much as maybe it needs to be, and I'm grateful to Leila for sharing that with us. As a reminder, we still have one Moldavite oil to gift to one of our new patrons of the podcast. So this is for anyone who becomes a patron between November 15th, 2019 and December 31st, 2019. I will pick one name on December 31st out of a hat with the names of our new patrons to win one of these Moldavite oils gifted from Levi over at moldavitejewelry.com. I have personally been using this oil and I really enjoy it. So throw your name in the hat by signing up to become a patron of the podcast at patreon.com/letsgetmeta. I'm going to leave it there for today. I hope you enjoyed this episode and we will catch you in 2020. Stay meta.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you like what we're doing, please consider becoming a patron of the podcast at patreon.com/letsgetmeta. Our intention is to raise the vibration of the planet by sharing, validating, and normalizing spiritual and metaphysical experiences. If you haven't pledged yet, we'd really appreciate your support. It helps keep this show going. Let's Get Metaphysical is a production of the Hana Healing Arts Network. The show's host is Renata Maniacci. The music for this podcast was composed by Rob Trefort of GoldenTurtleSound.org. Thank you for listening. Stay meta.
Metaphysical, let's get meta. Metaphysical, let's get meta. Metaphysical, let's get meta. Metaphysical.